So I couch this discussion in terms of a rush deal. You know, is any deal that you're doing not a rush deal? It's a little bit of a redundant term. I think any deal that I've been involved in has always been a hurry up and wait type of situation. Both seller and buyer are very eager to get under contract, and after that, they're very eager to close for a variety of reasons I've listed here. And for that reason, you often don't get as much time to spend with your documentation as you wish or that it deserves, and that can often lead to errors, specifically errors in the inconsistencies between your PSA and your assignment. This is often how I feel when I'm waiting on opposing counsel to turn back a draft when I've sent them a very thoughtful version. And you know, all the worst thoughts go through your head. Is the deal dead? Are they going to completely overhaul this thing? Are we going to get stuck? If your first priority, especially for your client, is to get this thing closed and done with, often speed is a factor in that, and that can lead to errors. What we're going to talk about today is a clause that often practitioners rely on incorrectly and hazardously, in my view, as a shortcut to careful drafting and thoughtful draftsmanship, and it's the subject to the PSA clause, which is it's almost a universal clause in closing assignments that say something along the lines of the terms of the assignment are subject to the purchase and sale agreement between the parties. The thinking being that, at least in the minds of some practitioners, if there is an error in the assignment or some right or interest that we failed to get incorporated into the assignment, the PSA will backstop that and preserve our rights. So the question, of course, is that true? Will the PSA terms control over the assignment if they do conflict based on the subject to the PSA clause? And that seems to be intuitive based on our understanding of what subject to means. But case law, at least a couple of recent case laws, seem to say that's not the case. Two cases we're going to talk about today address this question. Both of them are Court of Appeals cases, but as we'll see in a minute, one of them was reversed. And I think it's fair to say it was reversed on grounds other than the merger doctrine. And I'll explain in a minute why Court of Appeals opinion in Burlington retains some precedential value. I'm going to try my best not to get into the weeds on the substantive issues in these cases, but of course I got to explain them to some degree to explain why the merger doctrine applies and how. But before we get into the cases, let's talk about the merger doctrine in general terms. It's a common law judicial rule. It states effectively that when a seller executes and a buyer accepts a conveyance pursuant to a contract for the sale of real property, then the contract terms will merge into the conveyance such that the conveyance becomes the final expression and sole repository of the party's deal terms in the absence of fraud, accident, mistake, things of that nature. Of course, not all terms of the PSA are going to be merged into the assignment. Contract terms do not survive closing if they concern the property conveyed, consideration, or the method of payment. And I'd say 99% of issues that come up regarding the merger doctrine have to do with the property conveyed, the size, the shape, the nature of the interest conveyed. And of course, there's other clauses such as arbitration, indemnity clauses, post-closing obligations of a variety of sorts that will survive closing, even if you don't say in the assignment that they survive closing, simply because by their nature, they're types of contract terms that aren't going to be done away with through the closing assignment. I'll come back with a few more examples of this later, but I'd like to talk about the cases first. So this first case is a Houston 14th District case in 2014. It's PET denied. The very abbreviated facts in this case are Devin and a company called KCS entered a purchase and sale agreement to sell producing acreage to KCS. The operator of these properties, who is a third party, proposed some new wells, and a dispute arose as to whether it was KCS or Devon who had the right to participate in these new wells. In other words, who owned the acreage, and whether Devon contended that it had conveyed only wellbores, not the entire tract. The conveyance itself from Devon to KCS purported to convey all right title and interest in the entire tract with no reservations, which is pretty straightforward. Devon argued that that it had agreed under the PSA to only sell the existing wellbores, and because the PSA controls due to the subject to the PSA language, that prevented the merger, and we could go back to the PSA and rely on those terms to override the assignment terms. Court said, no, we still think the merger doctrine applies in this case. We really don't care what the PSA says about the property to be conveyed, because ultimately the conveyance is going to control, and if there is a variance, the PSA terms are not going to make a difference in that regard. Specifically, it said that the merger doctrine requires courts to look to the deed alone in evaluating rights, even if the terms of the deed vary from the contract.